This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Hi, this is Jeffrey Epstein from Disney's D23, the official fan club, and you're listening to the Disney Nerds.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome back to the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is show number 304. I'm Sam from Sam's Disney Diary, and I am fresh back from the D23 Expo. Some time at Walt Disney World. There is so much happening. The Food and Wine Festival opened today. Galaxy's Edge opened at Walt Disney World. Disney Plus is right around the corner. Ed, are you there to help me through all of this?
Hey, Sam, how's it going? Wow, it looks like you rested up pretty well from that trip.
I don't know that I ever stopped. From Walt Disney World and being able to stay at Kidani Village for the first time, Bay Lake Tower, I did a nighttime safari. There's amazing things happening at Walt Disney World. It just blows my mind. Then I turn around and head out to Disneyland, where I got to go to Galaxy's Edge. I got to do some really cool things there. Pixar Pier over at California Adventure. And then we jump right into the D23 Expo. Just an amazing madhouse of Disney everything, you name it. It gets bigger every year, and I got to catch my breath, man.
Now, on top of that, everybody was listening for the Galaxy's Edge and watching the new opening down in Walt Disney World, and that was really cool. That was an incredible, nice little opening. Not as extravagant as Disneyland, I had to point out. I hadn't noticed.
Yeah, I noticed that too, and I think, well, in California, in Anaheim, not far from Hollywood, maybe some of the celebrities are a little more accessible, but they did get Hondo Ohnaka to appear down there in Disney World. I mean, he was the big draw, I guess.
Oh, yeah, he looked really, really good. Now, is Hondo, he's in the pre-show of the Falcon ride, right?
He is in Smuggler's Run. He's in the pre-show, and he is the scoundrel that's looking for some help in delivering some cargo, and he has somehow coaxed Chewbacca into piloting the Millennium Falcon as part of that run, and you are recruited to be part of that mission, and that's kind of the backstory behind Smuggler's Run.
Oh, that's a very cool tie-in. One of the pictures they showed D23 of that new Star Wars hotel was you in the lobby or something like that, and you and Chewie are moving some equipment and trying to stay away from the stormtroopers. So I wonder if that's part of the deal and the plan.
Exactly right. One of the many, many things we learned at the D23 Expo, all about the Star Wars Hotel, the two-day excursion or the two-day cruise that you'd sign up for. But Ed, D23 in general, it's 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The amount of content, the amount of information, the days are really kind of themed. So Friday's all about the Legends ceremony and the newly inducted legends like James Earl Jones, Bette Midler, Diane Sawyer, and Christina Aguilera, and I'm blanking on some of the others. Oh,
was John Favreau a new one, or is he like just a host?
No, John Favreau's a new one. In fact, that is hosted by Bob Iger, so you get the CEO of Disney inducting these new legends. I didn't go to that session. That's one that people line up forever for because I was over digging deeper into Disney's uncovered history. I kind of go into those things. Interestingly enough, there's so many things happening. Great moments with Walt. There's so many things that you can't get them all. Vader Immortal, the music and sounds of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, a conversation with Disney legend Bill Farmer, which I went to, which was wonderful. And that's all just Friday.
Oh, it just sounds an incredible time. And so much time you do have to invest in it, but it's so well worth it.
It's definitely an investment. There's lots of standing in line. Saturday was all about the new movies from the studios, from the animations. So that's where there was a panel with the Rise of Resistance. That's where we got to look at Soul from Pixar, which is coming out. They also had a Disney on Broadway concert happen that day. The Haunted Mansion celebrating 50 years happened that day. And I could just go down collecting the creepy 50 years of Haunted Mansion merchandise. And I got to sit through this one. I wasn't allowed to record it. No pictures. But the merchandise from the 70s and early 80s was just amazing to look at.
I'm sure it brought back a lot of memories.
It brought back memories, but it was a point in the park, in the company's history, when they weren't really big on parks merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just taking things and slapping Haunted Mansion logos on them. And there was a lot of examples of some of the models, like regular models, like glue them and put them together, where they kind of sort of look like the Haunted Mansion until you got the Dracula, and it was obvious that you just put a Haunted Mansion sticker on top of Dracula.
Right.
But it was neat to see how that happened and then how it evolved into what the company is that we know today. It was
right.
Really cool.
Well, I tell you what, that was, we talked about this a little earlier. We kind of said that, I think it was what, the late 70s when they kind of came out of that funk and decided to put some money into merchandising?
When they figured out there was money to be had in attraction-specific merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, one of the reasons why I was not allowed to record collecting Haunted Mansion for 50 years is they did some previews of merchandise that's about to be released, part of the 50th, which is absolutely amazing stuff. But they estimated the hundreds of thousands of items that have been available through the Haunted Mansion as collectibles over the years. And it's just astonishing how many things have made their way through these stores. The cart that used to be in Magic Kingdom, a place in Disneyland where they used to sell, and of course Memento Mori, which is there now. It's just crazy.
Oh, I'm sure. And even to the point of that one album they had from, what was that, the 60s, early 60s, late
50s? So that album, and I'm glad you bring that up, because that album itself has about a dozen different covers for the same album, meaning the physical covers. Some are orange, some are blue, some say Disney's cool. Haunted Mansion, some say Disney's Haunted House. It was just, there was a slide that showed 8 different variants of the cover of that LP. Just amazing.
Oh, very cool. And that had,
I don't know which one you have.
And that had Ronnie Howard, who was doing the voice on that, which was really
absolutely
a cool thing
Ronnie
to hear.
Howard was one of the voices, and they talked about that. And I don't know which version you have, but I had an orange one that I need to find at my parents' house that I don't remember if it said Disney's Haunted Mansion or Disney's Haunted House. Because prior to – the album came out before the Haunted Mansion, and there was a period of time where they referred to it as the Haunted House, not the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, gotcha. I'm not sure what the number it is, but we did it a couple different our Halloween shows, so you can kind of look back around.
Halloween's right around the corner.
Oh, how about that? Okay.
So all that said, that's Friday, Saturday. Then Sunday is all about a sneak peek at Disney parks and experiences. And that's Sunday morning. And, of course, there's lots more that happens on Sunday as well. But this is the Disney nerd in me, the parks nerd in me just jumps up and listens for what was scheduled to be an hour and a half presentation, which, by the way, we have the whole thing on the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
It turned into closer to 2 hours. It'll be hitting YouTube soon with some edits in it to kind of try to shrink it down to the good stuff. And I think that was last week's show. And I think, dude, we should talk about some of the stuff because there's so much to digest.
Well, what I was
just
thinking,
at Epcot.
I was going to think we'll probably just hit Epcot today. And last week we spent probably about, I want to say 18 minutes of audio was just on Epcot alone from the panel, which means I still cut out a lot of that. So there was just a lot of information on Epcot. And we were kind of talking about it, and when you look at the rest of Walt Disney World, Magic Kingdom really had nothing announced for that. Hollywood Studios, of course, has Galaxy's Edge opening and the Mickey Minnie Railroad opening. Other than that, nothing. But Epcot, it got the lion's share.
Well, Animal Kingdom.
Oh, true.
Nothing.
Which nothing, right?
I didn't hear
exactly.
Anything. A little deeper, the only thing at Magic Kingdom is Tron. Which we know is happening. And
right,
we know
right.
There's stuff going on in Tomorrowland, but we didn't hear anything about it.
Which was a shame. I'm still waiting to hear kind of like I did hear the reimagining of it, but you're right. No details yet.
No details, right? What's going to go where Stitch was? Well, what's the new theme going to be? What's the new sign going to be? They're changing paint schemes all through Tomorrowland, and you know something's up. But well,
new Instagram
for
walls.
Next time. Yeah. So in the meantime, we have, according to Bob Chapek, the biggest, most extensive overhaul that has ever happened at any Disney park. And I guess the only thing you can compare that to Disney California Adventure, which they completely redid, and Hollywood Studios, which got a pretty big overhaul with Galaxy's Edge replacing Streets of America and Catastrophe Canyon and all of that. So there's a lot going to happen.
Oh, I know. It's going to be over, well, the next 3 to 4 years, really.
Yeah, so as they made announcements, they indicated when things would be opening. But as a whole, some things will be open before Disney World's 50th, but I don't think everything will.
No, and you're going to see things over the course of time either disappear or get added. I think definitely, though, what will stay is the way they're breaking up Epcot now.
Yes.
I think that's a big thing where they're going to be going in that direction. I don't think that's going to change any way at all.
No, I don't think there's any chance that stays. And in fact, Epcot is getting, how they refer to it, 4 districts?
Neighborhoods. Neighborhoods.
Neighborhoods. Okay. And of course, one is World Showcase, which is cool to see that's going to stay the same.
Right. And we'll talk about some of the changes. But yeah, and there's some more changes definitely coming there, but it's going to be a tour around the world. It's nothing really changing.
Which is fine. I have no problem
totally.
With that.
That's what we look forward to. Yeah.
I'm happy about that.
And then what we're having is the changes to the front of the park. So basically, the biggest difference I'm going to say is the center version. From left to right, meaning on the side of the park that had the Wonders of Life Pavilion that has Mission Space and Test Track and the new Guardians ride, that's going to be called World Discovery. And the way they're explaining that, it's about the science and the imagination of exploration. And that definitely follows suit with the two space rides. The Play Pavilion is going to be the new pavilion for the Life Pavilion. So that's going to be interesting.
Well, what was the Festival Center most recently?
True.
Yes.
And they did show some of the versions of what they're going to be doing in there. And there looks like a lot of virtual reality games and laser type games and things like that, where you're going to be very immersed in these activities in that play center.
It looked pretty cool. And I mean, if you look through, so this is rethemed that entire area. It gets a new front of it. It looks completely different. It's the Play Pavilion. Edna Mode has a little area in there, or a game, I guess you would call it.
And you're designing? Are we designing clothes in that one or another costume?
We are ridding the world of horrible fashion or something along those
right,
lines.
Right. Bad fashion design or something. Yes, exactly.
Wreck-It Ralph has a spot in there, which is kind of cool. I'm not sure exactly what it is. The Huey, Dewey, and Louie are getting a water balloon type thing.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And what's their – they have a sister or a cousin too.
Wembley?
I can't remember her name.
I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm thinking of somehow I'm thinking Fraggle Rock.
Right. But we'll come up with
to
it.
Those listening.
We'll come up with
People
it.
Are yelling at me right now. Wembley's Fraggle Rock. I know. Sorry. It looked cool because they didn't say DuckTales, but water balloons. My first thought was, are these real water balloons? This could be fun.
Could they be shooting them out of a gun? I mean, did I see them with cannons or something like that? The people participating in it on the sidelines?
There was a quick glimpse of concept art.
Yeah, we'll have to see as we go along.
And I think there's more coming in there, too. So that's cool. That's something, you know, at the end of the day, it's a place where people are going to go, and it's going to suck people up in there. And that's kind of cool.
Right, definitely. So now moving over, the center part of the park.
We also have a space restaurant over in World Discovery.
Oh, that's true. And they did talk a little bit more about that. I don't think we got anything brand new from that information, though.
Well, we got the name of the restaurant.
Oh, true. I apologize. Totally, we did get that. And you know what? Before we even say the name, it's going to be confusing until it gets explained.
Yes.
Because
Space 220.
Right. Now, initially, I thought Space 220, my head went right to Space Odyssey 2001 or whatever that the old 69 movie was. But the 220 is based on the height of the space station where you're going to be eating your dinner.
That's right, 220 miles above Earth.
Right, which makes a lot of sense now. However, again, you have to be able to explain that quickly enough to tell somebody when you're explaining it to them what that name is and what it means.
A couple of interesting things we saw there. We saw concept art of what appeared to be what's the launch platform. So you're going to get in and go in the launch platform, which is going to take you 220 miles up. And it reminded me of the old, I wasn't going to say Mission Space, but the old Mission to Mars, Mission to the Moon, where you're kind of looking down and you see Florida going away and getting smaller and smaller while you're going up. It looked like it could be pretty cool.
Oh, okay. I was thinking more like, you remember when you're overing in the Living Seas and you took the elevators down to the
Hydrolator.
Right, yes. And you took them down to the space lab. I mean, sorry, to the ocean lab, where you thought you were really going 100 feet underwater. You're going to have probably the same animations on the windows as you're going up and up and up. That'd be so cool.
Same thing. With the floor being, you know, like the Earth getting smaller. You know, you see what's around you. You probably see Epcot. Then you see the shape of Florida, and you're going up, and you go through the clouds, and then the next thing you know, you're in orbit. That's kind of neat.
Right. Now, we're looking at the picture they have of Epcot just to kind of help us out as we're going. And I see a spire going really high in the sky where the restaurant is supposed to be. I got to imagine, is it underground or what's the deal?
So you can see the construction today on Test Track when you're riding it. It's pretty straightforward where the restaurant's going to be. It's to the right of Mission Space, between Mission Space and Epcot. And it actually comes pretty close to the Test Track track. As it zooms around, and that spire just looks cool. It looks like it reaches up the space. I
wonder if it's a light spire at night, that type of thing.
I thought exactly that. It could be three or four high-powered beams of light shining straight up, but it's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no doubt. They also gave us some more information about the Guardians of the Galaxy addition to Epcot.
Yes.
Go ahead. What was the name? They gave us a name of it. I thought the name, based on everything we know about Star-Lord, the name is perfect.
Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind.
Right? Totally plays into the whole Volume 1 and Volume 2 of that great
Rewind
mix.
On that tape, right?
Yeah. So very cool.
There was something pretty cool about that announced, right?
You go ahead. What was that?
It is the first reverse launch coaster.
Which they didn't explain what that meant.
Like, you're going to take off like Rock and Roller Coaster, but you're going to be going backwards.
Okay, cool. People leaving their lunch in front of them.
Yep. Bob also mentioned, when I say Bob Chapek, while he was presenting, that the coaster would rotate around, which would have you viewing different scenes. So my original thought was, okay, we're going to fly around in a Doom buggy that's going to push us different directions. But it's not a Doom buggy. We saw some concept art of what the shuttles look like, but really kind of cool.
Oh, no, I can't wait. And they mentioned something about the animation type of patent that they have in this one. Was it this attraction where they have that new type of animation that immerses you inside of the scenes you're seeing?
Or is that maybe some things happening here and
the Spider-Man ride might have been that too?
But exactly. And I think Mickey Minnie's Wonder Ride Railroad has similar stuff. But I don't know yet. This is just kind of cool. It's intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I know. That building is huge that this thing's in that we've been watching them build.
Oh, I know.
I can't wait to get it. It's got to be.
And I tell you what, seeing the California version of Tower of Terror when they changed it over to the Guardians, what is it, the Breakout or something like that?
Mission Breakout.
Yep. They did such a great job at that I have no doubt this is going to be incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree with you. And that is World of Discovery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that...
And there's no, and that's kind of the strange thing. You bring up a good point. There's no ofs in any of these things. I would have thought World of Discovery, World of Celebration, which is the next land we're going to talk about, World of Nature, World Showcase, they all are just World Discovery, World Celebration.
Just
so
like
they
World
follow,
Showcase.
Exactly. They follow that kind of
line. They follow that. And you know, when I look at this, and just for a second, we just talked about Discovery, which used to be known as Future World East. Because Epcot's upside down, right? That was Future World East, that side, versus Future World West on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One of the things that was always there that listeners may or may not be aware of, the difference between heading into Epcot and going left over towards Test Track or going right over towards Soarin', there was a very subtle difference in the architecture of those two areas in Future World. When you went to the right, over towards the seas and the land, that was representative of nature. which it's now called World Nature. And it was very flowing in the paths. Everything flew like water. There were no 90-degree angles. It's still that way today. So the next time you go over there and walk around, take a look around and notice that. And it was the exact opposite if you went over towards Test Track or towards where Horizons was originally, or those attractions where everything was very industrial. It was 90-degree angles, and it looked like it was planned out, and it was all about energy and all about cars and things like that. So it was a subtle difference that I always thought was cool. And I think the fact that it used to be nature on the right and now it's called World Nature just calls that out even more. That's kind of cool.
Oh, sure. No doubt. No doubt. We always had the land and the sea over there. You kind of figured that was the kind of theme.
Yep. And imagination, right?
And imagination, which never fit into nature to me. But, yeah, it was really cool.
It had to go somewhere, I guess.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's actually jump over to that side of the park, to the west side of Epcot, and talk about World Nature. So, of course, it's involving or encompassing the land and the living sea. Now, I didn't hear any announcements about the sea. However, the land, they're replacing the movie that used to be in there, the Lion King movie, the Pumbaa and Timon.
Yeah, Symbiosis, or was that the original one? Am I even way...
No, that was, that was, I think, the original. This last one was...
Yeah, that was the opening day one. Oh, jeez.
This one, the one I remember was the one where they're doing the new park, the water park, so they dammed up the river upstream.
Pumbaa. Yeah, it was all about conservation and recycling. Mm-hmm. And
right, which is a great message. It was an awesome message. However, and the new movie they're bringing in is going to be Awesome Planet, which it looks like it's basically the story of the planet, and hopefully they're going to improve the way they have the animation in there, or the projection.
I expect that they'll go completely digital in that. I mean, that's the standard now.
Right. Now, the other new announcement, which I'm really looking forward to, is the Journey of Water, which is going to be over in that side of the park also. And the best we can figure out by looking at the maps, it's basically going to be in the location kind of where the walkway used to be between the fountain and getting over to the land pavilion.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have to merge a couple of these together to explain it. But that Journey of Water features Moana, which is kind of cool. So that's another character coming into the park. And really what it looks like, when you look at World Nature versus World Discovery, that's the right and the left. And in the center, you have World Celebration. And within World Celebration, think inside the monorail track and everything inside of it, with a couple of exceptions, but we could talk to those later.
Oh, sure. Which would have been Interventions, Spaceship Earth. Well, we'll start from the opening of the park. So the entryway, Spaceship Earth, Interventions, the fountain.
Fountain of Nations, the trading station.
The walkway through to World Showcase on both sides, the Imagination Pavilion.
Which includes the Odyssey on the right, and it looks like, what are they including here?
That's the Imagination Pavilion.
Yeah, it is. That's the Imagination Pavilion. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. So they're basically making a big area, and if you look at it, it kind of looks like a Mickey Mouse bar.
It does. I thought the same thing, Ed.
So basically, World Celebration it's the new pavilion in the park. So they're basically coming up with these great new ideas.
I'm going to back up a second, though, and cover a little more. So with inside of that monorail that you know today, with Interventions Interventions East and West, essentially the one on the right-hand side, which is Interventions West, you can just take that away. That's the Starbucks. That's the Club Cool. That is the character meet and greets. Those are all disappearing. And at some point in there, that's where this Moana water world's going to be, which sort of leads you towards the land and towards the sea and towards imagination. And at the same time, a new three-story tall celebration pavilion is going to be placed pretty much straight ahead, but sort of off to the right. And this becomes a festival center on the first two floors, and the top floor becomes a garden with spectacular views of fireworks. So my immediate thought, Ed, was fireworks parties up there.
Oh, sure. No
dessert
doubt.
Parties.
And it's kind of like they keep saying the garden. The third floor is going to be a garden. I imagine it's going to be basically a park up there. You know, basically it's going to be just a very well-manicured area where you can observe these fireworks in different shows. Now, one of the things we did observe in the artwork is the monorail seems to go behind it, or maybe through it. So
I can't tell. They give us one image, and all we can do is look at it, and we see the monorail. So it's kind of interesting. When you look at this, there are two things that don't change. Well, I guess there's more, but inside it, Spaceship Earth and the monorail track. Outside of the land and the living seas and imagination, those things don't move. But when you look at it, the monorail track goes behind and you lose sight of it around this celebration pavilion, but I can't tell if it does go around it or if it goes through the second floor of it or right near it. But either way, there's going to be a cool view looking into this pavilion from the monorail.
Well, sure. Anything new is going to be great. And I'm going to be wondering exactly the second and the first floor, how much views you'll have from there too, because it'll still be elevated.
So they position those during the presentation as festival space. So this is your festival center, really what the Odyssey, what Wonders of Life was being, will be moved into this area. So for flower and garden, I imagine that this is where you're going to see your horticultural presentations and things like that. And for food and wine, that's where you're going to get your chef's presentations and your beer tastings or cocktail tastings or whatever it might be. But you're right. What will the views be like? Is it going to be open air or is it going to be closed off?
And is it going to be like open just to go whenever you want, or is it going to be limited to either reservations or something like that? Special.
And even if you look at it closer, is the bottom of it really a walkthrough with the second floor being where things are? It's hard to tell.
True. The second floor actually reminds me of the back of Spaceship Earth.
The way it is today, yes.
Yeah, the version that faces World Showcase, when you look at it, that's like their convention center or their meeting center.
The meeting space, the Siemens-sponsored meeting space today. Correct. Which makes me wonder if there is a sponsor over here.
You know what? And based on their live show of Galaxy's Edge opening the other day with the AT&T sponsorship, I'm going to say yes, there is.
I don't know who it is going to be. They didn't announce one, so I'm going to guess one's in the works.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Now, one other thing in this new area they're developing at Epcot is the Spaceship Earth. Now, one of the things people thought about was, what are they going to do with Spaceship Earth with all of this other construction and movement and things going on differently around it? And we found out, which was great to hear. First of all, we're going to be moving on with our fourth host.
I'm assuming that, a new host. I'm assuming it's not going to be a repeat, but maybe that would be cool. I don't know.
Well, I think I remember him saying that specifically. It's going to be somebody new.
He said there would be a new host, yes.
Yeah, so that's definite.
There would be a new spiel for it, yes.
The other idea is there's a central theme now where we're going to be led through not really time so much, but storytelling. So I think it's still going to be a story about time. And if you think about Spaceship Earth, you're talking about a lot of different scenes where people are really telling stories, from the cavemen to the Greeks to the Egyptians. They're kind of just, talking away. They're telling stories. Now, the cool thing is that it looks like we're going to have this like light feature, a sparkle or a dream. What do I want to call it?
Did he call it the storyteller or the story light?
Yeah, that's going to follow us through. So now imagine you're in the caveman area, and there's this little sparkle of like Tinkerbell-like type sparkling on the wall itself, perhaps. That's going to vibrate with the sound when the person talks and narrates. But that's going to follow us through the storyline, probably pointing out specifics when they talk.
Which is really cool.
We'll see. We don't know.
It will be... traditionally, and since Epcot opened, it was the story of man and communication and how we went from cavemen to the internet that we have today. And instead of focusing on that, the focus would be more on storytelling, the history of storytelling. What I found the most intriguing, Ed, was the comment that they would be reimagining some of our favorite scenes and creating new ones. And while he was talking about that, behind him were animations of the caveman scene, but it looked so much cooler. And there was like a bird kind of flying like you're talking about that was resembling that light. It just looked really cool.
Okay, here's a thought for you. They have that great overlay animation on the castle, on the Tree of Life at Animal Kingdom. What if we bring that inside and make that a little smaller for an attraction inside so that caveman that part or whatever part we're going to be in, give me an overlay animation perhaps that just definitely jumps out at you.
While you were describing the twinkle, I was thinking of the new effects that they have in the World of Disney, where at the World of Disney, behind a register, there's a little twinkle that comes up and it flies around, and then it's Tinkerbell and one of the pictures gets animated.
Oh, okay.
The technology's there, right? That's, I think.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Very cool.
And that's Spaceship Earth. And maybe even from that, we should venture a little bit further to the front, because we know there's tons of construction happening right now in the very front of Epcot. And if anything else, you know, the tombstones are all gone. We know that. They've already started to remove those. There's lots of greenery. The fountain is being restored back to an updated concept of the original Epcot fountain. So I expect the fountain's in the same spot, but now we have a nice tower in the middle of it, which kind of cool, like opening day.
Right.
I think more importantly, and I'm real happy about this, once they're done from a security point of view, once you get into Epcot security, you're now inside Epcot and the Magic Kingdom when this thing's all said and done.
Right, and that's
so the
best
monorail,
part.
That is so nice.
And the same thing for the Magic Kingdom side, of course.
Same thing
too.
For Magic Kingdom. So once you're on the monorail, inside the monorail, you are inside, which isn't the case today. It was the case for a couple of months, but then construction happened, right?
Sure. Now, two things I want to point out about the concept art. First, they have a huge line on the monorail. So I don't know why they're portraying it as like being packed. That's good thing to do. Second,
not a lot of people at the buses.
And that's what I was going to say, is the buses are still off in Timbuktu. So it's still a major hike. They need a little tram that takes you from the buses, actually, to the park.
They almost do, yeah.
But, okay, so I tell you what. Now we're going to move on to the World Showcase. And I'm more excited, if you can believe it, about the changes that are going to be happening over there.
There's some cool stuff. While you walk across into World Showcase, I just want to point one thing out that I noticed. When you go into World Showcase, you were talking about that World Celebration looking like a Mickey bar.
Mm-hmm.
And where those ears for that Mickey bar reach out are really where those two stores are today, the old Duffy store and the World store. And based on some of that final concept art, I don't think those stores are going to be there when this thing's all said and done.
Oh, okay. Like just kind of beachfront property.
Well, or viewing for the new fireworks thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right.
That was my thought, because you have the top of the celebration thing, and then you have essentially from the Mexico outdoor restaurant, the counter service, all the way to Rose and Crown in the United Kingdom. Looks like it's all lagoon front places to watch or expansion, one of the two.
Sure. And less to look over now for that tower. Yes. Now you don't have buildings to look over. You're literally looking down right to the lake,
which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Can I point one thing out from this concept art that I noticed and I thought, what is going on?
And don't worry, guys, this picture is going to be prime time on the post on the website.
Absolutely.
So you'll be able to see this too while you're listening.
So in addition to all of the fireworks in the center and what looks like the water screens and all that fun stuff, I see some sailboats out there in the middle of the lake.
I think that's just added, but it could be similar to Animal Kingdom.
I don't
Kingdom.
Know. I
could
mean, there's a friendship that. Boat. I don't know. I just,
that's what I'm saying.
One
I think
of the
it's concept art.
Is Goofy water skiing behind one of those?
Yeah. Maybe they took a daytime shot and a nighttime shot and combined it.
Could be. Anyway.
But, okay. So now, World Showcase. We're going to start, and we're going to actually follow the way we're going to go for this year's half sample-thon at our meetups in the November meets.
Ooh, which
and
way are we going?
We're going to be going to Canada first. So we're going to be going right. And Canada,
sure.
Of course, just the big announcement about Canada was that they're going to be replacing the movie in there. They're going to be replacing the projection system also while they're doing that. And
which is good. That's
and for food
thing.
And wine, you get a chance to go inside there when the movie's not going on.
Yeah, I'm thinking this year there's a lot of temporary things happening. There's going to be a lot of strange things that happen at Epcot over the next few years while they're jockeying and playing a domino game here. And inside of where the movie used to be, who knows what's going to be in there. It could be merchandise. It could be food. You never know.
Right. Well, we're going to find out because Food and Wine started, so we're getting all the reports in.
Yeah.
Jimmy and Kim are on their way down, so we're going to find out tomorrow what's going on.
Yeah. We also found out about the new movie, right?
What was
the name of that?
Canada Far and Wide. In Circle Vision 360, so you got to make sure you include In Circle Vision 360.
Well, sure.
Because I think now the big claim to fame is you're not going to see any projectors between the screens.
And we're to that point in time where that's possible. I mean, the days of Nine-Eye and the way that that worked, which is exactly what the Canada Pavilion was, right? You have the projector in between two screens that shoots straight across, and you do that nine times all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
With today's technology, you don't need nine screens. You could get away with four screens going all the way around that thing, maybe even three.
Oh, sure. And they dealt with the technology they had, and I'm so glad they're going to be improving it. That's what's that's the name of the game.
Exactly.
So that's going to be really cool improvement. Now, I tell you what, the way they have everything in Canada covered up, I am not going to be surprised if a lot of that new, you might have some new buildings, you might have very clean buildings or something, because there is major coverage the last couple of pictures I saw.
The entire mountain is covered in tarps, and that's okay. I mean, you need to clean that up. I don't know that I ever remember Canada getting the facelift like it's getting, so that's good.
Right, definitely, definitely. Okay, so let's keep on going around World Showcase, because we have another announcement that came from the UK. And this one, I think, is probably one of the most special announcements of them all. Go ahead. You can tell us.
Talk about an amazing moment to be in Hall D23 when they start to talk about World Showcase. And Bob Chapek essentially steps aside, and there's a musical performance of Step in Time. And then the next thing you know, Dick Van Dyke is walking onto the stage.
Just yeah, that was great.
Absolute amazing ovation. The energy in that building was phenomenal. It was a special place to be, a special time to be, and to hear Dick Van Dyke say, you know, Walt is the mastermind behind all this. He saw the world through the eyes of a child, and that's what made Mary Poppins what it is. And that led to Bob Chapek announcing a Mary Poppins attraction for the United Kingdom.
And what was cool about it was that there's going to be an attraction, which they didn't mention anything about.
Nothing about it.
Ugh. Totally nothing. Like, we don't know what it is, anything at all, other than you're going to be entering the house that she worked at, and that's going to be the beginning of the ride line, I guess, or the queue.
Yeah, it was at house number 7, the Banks house?
Mm-hmm.
I don't exactly
remember. Number 17, home for the Banks. Yeah.
With the gun up on the top, the boat, all that was going to be there, and
well, you better believe that's going to go off every hour.
That sure as hell
go off every hour, and it'll
or
be
maybe
great.
2 minutes past the hour. Mm-hmm. Is that? No, he was always right. It was the Big Ben that was off, right?
Right, that's always the case.
The only other thing I did get out of this one is Bob said this was. No details, but it was 2022, which would place this as one of those things after the 50th.
Right.
Or maybe during it, right? Because the 50th celebration.
Sure, it's going to go on for a year.
Celebration like Disney has, a year is 18 months.
Yeah.
Or 24 months if the merchandise is moving good.
Well, it's going to be a huge one, so.
Yeah. Mary Poppins. Come on, Mary Poppins. Ugh.
Oh, I know. Let's keep on moving, because we're going to be going to France now. It seems like we're hitting every country and getting a new announcement.
We've hit everyone so far, yeah.
So France had a great announcement in that, well, first of all, we have Remy's Ratatouille Adventure coming. Okay, and we knew about that beforehand. Hopefully that's going to be coming soon. I think 2020, they said. Now, in addition to that.
Yes, he said 2020, which is, he said summer 2020, which means we're talking May, less than a year for this thing.
Which will be great.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this one. Now, I got to experience this one in France, and it was a very, very fun attraction. You guys are going to totally love it and not want to get off of it. Well, the thing was, the big announcement now for France after we heard this one, which was one I was really not expecting at all. So what they said was they're going to, in the France Pavilion, at the Impressions de France, have a second feature in there, Beauty and the Beast sing-along. Now, it's cool. It's going to be opening in January 2020, so it's not that far away. And it's directed by Don Hahn, who was involved in both the animated and the live versions of the movies, too.
That's kind of cool. And I think what you've done here, as Bob would say, more family, more characters into Epcot, clearly something that the family may be interested in, especially if you have little ones that want to do a sing-along back there with Beauty and the Beast. I don't mind it at all.
I want to know how it's going to work, though. Is it going to be a double feature, or will it be the Impressions of France at 1 o'clock and then the sing-along at 2 o'clock, and then they switch back and forth? Because it sounds like they're sharing the same theater.
The initial word, and this could change, was it would be the sing-along through the day and then move to the traditional Impressions de France for the evening.
Ooh, I'm not liking that.
We'll see.
We'll see. Interesting. Well, very cool. Okay, well, it seemed like we had some quietness as we went around World Showcase all the way till we got to China.
Yeah, that's right. So we went through Morocco. That's okay. Come on. We had 3 for 3 off the bat. We can go through Morocco. We can go through Japan, which, by the way, just had the new restaurant open in Japan.
True.
Go through the U.S., which has the barbecue restaurant under construction right now. The quick service is under construction in Italy, and then head over to Germany. Never mind. I'm trying to go country by country.
Well, anyway, we're at China, and China announced that we've been hearing this for years now, 4 or 5 years, that the movie over there will be changing. It's going to be the Wondrous China 360-degree digital format movie. So very cool. Looking forward to that. Not looking forward to losing the philosopher or the poet guy that was in there, though. He's great.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I think he also said January 2020 for this one, too.
I think so. I can't remember. We'll have to go back and check that.
So this was the original what was happening, and he said them all, but he didn't tie it together. So the word was, and this is rumor, that during the Festival of Arts for 2020, there would be a new movie festival. And that festival was going to showcase the premiere of these 4 new films in Epcot. The 4 new films being China, Canada, the new sing-along in France, and In the Land, the Awesome Planet. So that's kind of cool if they do that, but he never didn't say that, so I don't know for certain. But I'd keep my eyes out for a movie festival during the Festival of Arts.
Nice, nice. Always looking for those type of things. Okay, so the one other big announcement about the parks was the Illuminations replacements. So we do know we have the temporary show coming in there, Epcot Forever.
Yep.
And
which looks great. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. But it also was announced that the show replacing that the new permanent show would be called Harmonious.
Harmonious.
Us. The U.S. being capitalized.
U.S. capitalized in different colors, yes.
Did they explain, is that us for like us or U.S. like United States?
He did not. Just Harmonious.
Which, and actually, I think this is a pretty cool thing because they made a big point about talking about how the music, which is what brings us together, all through these announcements of the entire day, including and most specifically Epcot. So by calling the show Harmonious, they're pointing out the music and the listening. Harmonious. Illuminations was pointing out the visual, if you think about it in that regard.
Right.
So we're switching senses
like
now.
I like that.
Yeah. It's very cool. The Imagineers are definitely staying on a total, like a string of consciousness. It's really, really cool.
I do like it.
But this one sounds great. The announcement was awesome for it. I'm waiting to see the drones, even though there's no drones listed in any of the articles or there's stories about it.
I think we see them for Epcot Forever, but not in Harmonious. We did see a clip of Epcot Forever during the parks panel, and there are some kites flying in the air. It's like 4 or 5 kites that are sort of strung together, and the word is that's a drone that's leading those things. I don't know any of those details, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
And the show is going to be bigger, louder, brighter. Everything.
What do you say? The biggest nighttime spectacular that's ever been done by Disney.
Nice.
And my initial thought is, what's the biggest one today? You have to go right to Happily Ever After. And if you're going to be on a scale of that, okay, I'm all in. Let's do it.
Well, sure. And they're going to add all the new water things, too. That's going to be the big, big addition, I think, on top of the fireworks, is that they'll have all the water fans with the animations and displays that tell the new story or whatever the story is going to be.
And being just back from Disneyland and watching Fantasmic at Disneyland and going, this show just blows Disney Worlds away because of the new projection screens, the new overlays that you were talking about, the projections and things like that. This could be just phenomenal. I can't wait to see it.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And considering they're making so many new viewing areas for the show itself, like that's what they're talking about. That just says a lot about what they're expecting.
It does. And that's good. More viewing areas, viewing locations. It's going to be cool.
Yep. Now, the one area we didn't talk about, did we talk about Odyssey or not?
We did not. And that was the last thing, because Odyssey, they're going to turn into really a preview center. So while all of this construction is going on, you're going to be able to go into the Odyssey and get a glimpse of what this thing's going to look like. And I love the fact that they're going to do a preview center right in Epcot of what the new Epcot will look like.
I wonder how quick they're going to get that place together, because you got to think how many things they have coming. It would be the perfect opportunity to start displaying some of these ideas.
Yeah, we got some reports from Epcot and pictures today that there are already a new paint scheme going on to the Odyssey building. So they're clearly working on it.
Right, right. Awesome.
I want to see it now. I mean, when Jimmy and Kim are going down, I want them to see it. I want to see pictures of it. And honestly, looking at the concept art, some of the models look to be what was at the D23 Expo. So if they're just simply taking that and finding a new home for it, good for them for repurposing the stuff.
Oh, no doubt. And actually, breaking news, you'll be able to visualize these exciting plans for Epcot when doors open October 1st, 2019, for the Walt Disney Imagineering Presents the Epcot Experience in the Odyssey Events Pavilion. So October 1st, it'll be open. Guys, we're going to be totally seeing this when we get down there for our meetups.
So if that's open, that's 1 month.
Yep, can't wait.
So there you go. That's cool. And, you know, the visuals and what they're showing us for Harmonious just looks phenomenal. It looks great.
Sure. I mean, if it's even half as good as it looks on that display there, it's going to be a really, really fun show. And I tell you what, guys, there's a bunch of different posts we had going the last couple weeks, specifically from last weekend on from D23, and you're going to find a lot of this information on the Disney Nerds Podcast blog. Going to definitely find out and get some more in-depth about what we're talking about today. And more than likely, we'll be doing a couple more shows about some of the other announcements we haven't even touched on yet.
I think you have to. Ed, if you look at that Disney Plus panel and the things that they announced for Disney Plus, they had Lady and the Tramp were there. The live-action dogs were there. That was cool. Mandalorian and High School Musical's getting a series, and Phineas and Ferb, and they're bringing back so many things. It's Disney Plus just looks phenomenal.
Right. And if you guys are D23 members, don't forget, the show will be posted before this, September 2nd, that really, really good offer for that 3 years at a great price goes away. So if you want to take advantage of it, jump on it.
$140 for 3 years of Disney Plus. The Marvel stuff looked amazing. I mean, any fan, no matter what you're a fan of, if you're a fan of Star Wars, you have The Mandalorian and the Obi-Wan movie that Ian McGuire movie, but series.
Series,
absolutely amazing. Yep. If you're Marvel, they have some Marvel things happening. And
they're going to have the Falcon and the Winter Soldier series. That's definitely one thing, but there's other things too.
A Pixar fan, you got Forky Asks a Question, right? So they're doing some Toy Story stuff. If you're a Disney Animation fan or a Disney Live Action fan, you got Lady and the Tramp. I don't even know where to start when it comes to that.
Yeah, no, it's all great stuff, and it's a lot of stuff we have to look forward to, and that's the best part about it. It's kind of like when we plan for those trips. The planning is just as fun as the trip itself. The same with this. We're going to be looking forward to following all these new developments in the construction and then the openings as it comes along.
This is going to be fun. And add on top of that, Rise of the Resistance is coming. We didn't even talk about the Skyliner. We got to see inside one of the Skyliner vehicles, Ed. When you step into this thing, you can see out all around it. You know, it's wrapped.
So you can see through the wrapper. Now
you can see through the wrapper, and it looked great.
And the big question was air conditioning. That's always going to be the biggest one, to see how it handles as it gets really, really hot.
Because there is none. It's got air circulation. We'll just have to wait and see. So,
I'm looking forward to it. We're going to be trying that out, too.
I'll be trying that out. That's for sure. No problem. The Riviera Resort, which is going to open, which is also going to have some great sight lines for this new show, Harmonious.
I don't even think of that, how the hotels can see from different places now.
You know that was all part of this planning somewhere.
I think the Caribbean's right behind it, too.
So the Riviera is part of the Caribbean, right?
Mm.
It's right there. We are now, like Bob Chapek said, on the verge of a transformation of a park unlike any other. And I really thought, Ed, after Hollywood Studios the last 4 or 5 years went from, you know, the Osborne Lights and the Streets of America and Catastrophe Canyon and the Backlot Tour and all those things that are gone. And now you walk back there and it's Galaxy's Edge and Toy Story Land.
Sure.
And wow, what a change. And now the same thing's going to happen at Epcot.
It's small pain for big gain.
I like that.
What you
small
always
pain
have to
for
do.
Big gain.
Now, it's really cool because we're going to be doing the same thing at Epcot. And it's funny because it seems like that park has to become number 4 in the list of what you want to visit before they really go to town on it. And that's actually what Epcot became at this point, because Animal Kingdom jumped ahead with Pandora.
Yeah.
And Hollywood Studios jumped ahead with Toy Story Land and now Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So they're keeping up with it, which is great. And I can't wait to see what's next. What do you guys think? Let us know what you really kind of got from this Epcot update. What are you looking forward the most to? And what can't you wait to see? Give us an email. Send us a text. Let us know what you think. Jimmy, how can they get in touch with the show?
Where'd Jimmy come from?
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 304, the deep dive into the Epcot plans that we got from D23. Okay, guys, that's it for tonight. For Sam, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Congaloosh!
Nice.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay.